How's it going? This is Ty, and this is episode 82 of the Fiction and Copy Decoded podcast, and I'd like to welcome you, which I do. Welcome. Okay, I have to warn you in advance that this is going to be a bit of a short one, because I realized that unless I elaborate on it, I can make this point rather quickly, and that's totally okay. This relates to last week's episode, because the post that episode is connected to is right before the post that this episode is connected to, where I wrote about a huge break that I had gotten in my business, writing copy, to I essentially gotten an offer to study some new techniques for basically, well, I had to write, so it wasn't technically free, but it was as free as it was going to get, and it was a valuable leg up with that client at the time, and as well as overall, because knowledge is something that you can use. It's like, knowledge somebody can't take away from you. Like, tools people can take away. But things like tools and apps and software, people can take away. But knowledge and something that you can do with a myriad of different tools and a myriad of different, like, inputs and outputs is something that nobody can take away from you, which is why it makes it so valuable and why knowledge is so awesome. Anyway, so without further ado, let's get to it. I realized that fiction writers get a heck of a lot of breaks too and a lot of legs up depending on what they go through, what you may have gone through. I mean, with your journey with writing or in business too sometimes. It's like a lot of people give you a lot of advice. And depending on the quality of that advice, you know, you take it. You take that advice and put it into practice until either you fine-tune it or you just keep using it because it keeps serving you well over and over, you know? So fiction writers get that kind of a break too, actually, because they seek it out sometimes with other types of writing, writing copy or ads or anything else like that. You can seek it out, but other times it finds you. It's kind of a 50-50 depending on whether or not somebody wants to give you their time or like trade services or what have you. So fiction writers kind of get this in a lot of ways, or other writers too, as long as something like the following happens, okay? If an editor sends back a personal rejection about what they liked and didn't like about a manuscript or a piece you submitted, that's a leg up, because not only did somebody usually not all the time, but if they are more experienced than you, that's a leg up as well. And also, it's a leg up with that particular publication usually, because if it's a personal rejection, that means it's not a form letter or a form email, which means they either thought enough of your submission to actually tell you something about it, or they're trying to, and despite the fact that it sounds like the opposite, trying to encourage you. It sounds weird, but anyway. Anytime a fellow writer looks over a piece you've written and you get feedback on it, that's a leg up as well. As long as the feedback is constructive and will make the story stronger if you implement it because it's specific, that's very important. Because depending on who you ask, if you don't ask specific questions, you may not get specific feedback. If you do ask specific questions and you don't get a specific answer, that may also not be as valuable. Sometimes it is. It's like, well, I don't understand why the character did this in this scene, because you spent all this time talking about how they're afraid of this or afraid of this or afraid of cats. And all of a sudden they're cuddling up to a cat two scenes after we've seen them run from one, and there's no logical or otherwise explanation is more specific than the character confused me, or I just didn't like X, Y, or Z. So That's because everyone is different, though, because also you can also learn from what other people do that you've looked over. So if you do the same for somebody else, you look over something for somebody and you can take things away from that. It's like, oh, well, they're not as good. They're better overall storytelling than you are, but you might be better at something like characterization or better at dialogue than they are, because the dialogue looks just terrible because it's not very conversational. And it seems like those are words or phrases nobody would say in normal conversation. That it's that sort of a thing. That's because everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. Like if somebody writes great subject lines for emails, they may not do well at like features and benefits or calls to action, and you may be okay or better than them. It also helps, and this is very subjective as well, because sometimes people will help you out and sometimes they won't, and it depends on what your strengths and weaknesses are in the writing arena. As long as somebody is helping you, they're not weak in the exact same areas you are, you'll get stronger almost no matter what. And if they can point out things in a nice way without making you feel bad. I'm only saying that because criticism is hard to take 99.998% of the time. And if you can break something to somebody in a way where they want to implement but don't feel like they should never write again, it's better too. And even if they aren't nice, you'll still become a stronger writer, but it will hurt a lot more. Which, I mean, writing is already tough as it is, and being rejected is already tough as it is as well. So it might be some kind of thing along the way, as if you get more and more used to rejection in the literary arena, it might be harder at some points further along the journey for criticism or what people say to hurt you, depending on how hurtful they are and how used to it you are, so to speak. And there's also a lot to be said about effective critiques. Usually there's preparation involved, but I kind of covered that before, so I won't jabber about that again. Because of the fact that so many things come together to like, well, okay, they sound like they're a terrible person, but they're trying to help you. Does that mean they're a really terrible person? Well, not really, unless they're like directly putting you down personally without reference to your writing. Then that's bad. That's not being nice, and that's being a terrible person. Whereas other people seem like they're like really abrasive and really terrible, but in the end, if you step back and analyze it, they really are just trying to help you. So it all depends on your relationship, if you have one, a relationship or a friendship or a business acquaintanceship with that individual who's examining your writing, or the individual you're examining their writing. Because life has a lot to learn, and writing and business is no exception. But there are a lot of others who have done it before, or people who have done it alongside us who we can learn from. And if you're able and willing, every time that opportunity comes up, go ahead and take it. That'll be the end of this episode. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. To learn more about the blog this podcast is connected to, you can visit it at fictionandcopydecoded.wordpress.com. You can learn about me there. You can also learn about me on my copywriting samples website at timeallcopywriting.yolasite.com. Yolasite is one word. It's YOLASITE.com. You can also support this podcast by listening, sharing, subscribing, and commenting. You can also become a monthly supporter if you'd like. For 99 cents a month, you'll get my thanks at the end of each episode. For $4.99 a month, I'll give you part of the show notes of the podcast to promote your business, terms apply, of course. And for $9.99 a month, I'll do a 30-second to 1-minute ad for your biz during the show. Great for you service providers out there, too. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Have an awesome day.